This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.
The following presentation of the Midland City Council will begin in a moment. The Midland City Council is the city's legislative body that sets policies, approves budgets, determines tax rates, and adopts ordinances and resolutions to govern the city. It is made up of 5 elected officials that represent the wards in which they reside, and councilmen are elected to 2-year terms. The mayor is elected from among the council members by vote of the city council. City Council meetings are held at 7 p.m. 2 Mondays per month in Council Chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T UVerse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs Podcast Channel.
Good evening and welcome to the July 8th, 2019 meeting of City Council. Please stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Selena, would you please call roll?
Honorable Mayor Donker?
Here.
Councilman Hall?
Here.
Councilman Wasbinski?
Here.
Councilman Brown-Wilhelm?
Here.
Councilman Arnask?
Here.
Thank you. Does anyone on council have a conflict of interest with anything on the agenda this evening?
No, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on then to the consent agenda. All resolutions marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and will be enacted by one motion. There'll be no separate consideration of these items unless a citizen or council member so requests during the discussion stage of the motion to adopt the consent agenda is indicated. If there is even a single request, the item will be removed from the consent agenda without further motion and considered in its listed sequence in regular fashion. Is there anyone from the public who would like an item removed from the consent agenda? Anyone from the council? I did this a little backwards. Can we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, first and second, and we have no one asking for an item to be removed, so all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. And that takes us down to public hearings, and this evening we have 2 public hearings. So I'd like to just talk a little bit about our public hearing process. And first we'll have a presentation by the staff, and they'll provide an overview of the petition for us, and then council members will have an opportunity to ask the staff any questions that they might have. After that, we will then open the public hearing, and if the petitioner is here and wants to discuss it, the petitioner can present, and then we'll have an opportunity for listening, and this is our opportunity to listen what people have to say. You can speak in either support of the petition or in opposition to the petition, and I just need to say that this is not a two-way conversation. This is an opportunity for listening. After that, if there is any further rebuttal that the petitioner might want to make, if they're here, they can do that, and then we will close the public hearing and we'll give council then the opportunity to deliberate. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Nicole Wilson, who will actually be presenting on both of these public hearings this evening. The first one has to do with conditional use permit number 65.
As you mentioned, this is conditional use permit number 65 for Brubaker Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. To give you a few more details here about the request, see if it's going to work for me. There we go. The location of this proposal is at 1123 and 1201 East Wackerly Street in an RC Regional Commercial Zoning District. The proposal before you this evening is for a 5,670 square foot warehouse facility at that location. To take a closer look and orient you to the site, the parcels are bounded to the south by East Wackerly Street, to the north by US 10. And then in terms of business surroundings, you will see to the west, the Midland Gymnastics Training Center, and to the west, Behavioral Medicine Associates. And then of course, off to the southwest, the Greater Midland Tennis Center. To take a look at the site a little bit more closely, and I'll call out just a few site characteristics. Right now, this parcel is vacant with some kind of incidental plant material that exists simply by way of it being vacant. To the couple of mature trees, to the northern property line, on to the north even of the berm that we'll talk about a little bit more further on in this presentation. And then there are also some mature trees that exist along the eastern property line that are proposed to be maintained and to stay through the development. To take a closer look at that berm, this is the street view that exists today on East Wackerly Street. Again, this over here is the Midland Gymnastics Training Center and the berm that I mentioned previously, and we'll talk a little bit further as we get toward discretionary standards that exists here. It is worth noting that this berm exists behind the subject parcel and then the parcel immediately adjacent to the east, but does not extend the full length of those properties that back to US 10. So it seems that as properties have been developed, the berm has been removed, with the exception of Behavioral Medicine Associates. When evaluating for the current zoning of the subject parcels, as I mentioned before, the subject parcels are zoned RC Regional Commercial. And then, of course, the Greater Midland Tennis Center off to the southwest and the Midland Soccer Club facilities are both zoned as community districts. And LCMR, the Limited Commercial Manufacturing Research, off to the northeast there. And Industrial B, most notably, and you'll hear me talk a little bit more about this, the RA Single Family Residential District that exists to the south, immediately adjacent across East Wackerly Street. To evaluate then for future land use, as we do with conditional land use approvals, the subject parcel is maintained as commercial in the future land use map, and then again low density residential across East Wackerly to the south. To talk about the site plan, just calling out a couple of things that we talk about pretty frequently. Parking is seen as adequate for the square footage that is proposed of the building. The proposal does include public sidewalks, although sidewalks do not exist along the full length of the north side of East Wackerly. It will give us move us a little bit more toward a street or a sidewalk grid. Behavioral Medicine Associates to the east does have sidewalk that extends, so this will continue to move that sidewalk along East Wackerly. I mentioned before the existing mature trees that exist on the eastern property line, and those are here, and those are proposed to be maintained. Dumpster facility is adequately screened, and the stormwater detention is maintaining stormwater on the site as in line with our stormwater ordinance. The landscaping that is proposed is in line with what is required, and of course any signage that were to come through, while it's called out here as a monument sign, where's my cursor? There it is. The monument sign there, that would still need to go through sign permitting process as well. Moving right along and actually moving back in time just a little bit, you might recall that you saw site plan number 374 in July of 2018. This was a previous proposal by Brubaker Heating and Cooling for a showroom facility with a small portion of the building to be used for warehousing. Since the time of that proposal, the needs of the business have changed, and the need for warehousing and to change the way that they handle deliveries is really what is driving this request. touching on that just a little bit further and discussing with the project lead that in having a warehouse facility, they will need to do less frequent deliveries, but with larger vehicles, and this building will be able to accommodate those larger vehicles once per week, rather than having a mid-sized vehicle almost daily. So that is also driving their need. It changes the way they handle freight. So moving forward, just to go back to what we're looking at today, which is conditional use permit number 65. These are the exterior elevations of the building. Most notably or most visible to those of us in the public at the south elevation at the bottom of your screen will front onto East Wackerly, though set back, if my memory serves, about 90 to 150 feet from the street. So it is set back. It does feature those three large garage doors and then two pedestrian entrances at each end of the building. The west elevation then would be on the side of Midland Gymnastics Training Center, and the east elevation toward Behavioral Medicine Associates, and of course the north elevation along US 10. When we talk about conditional use permits, we have two sets of standards, non-discretionary standards, which relate directly to the zoning ordinance, and at this time all applicable provisions within the zoning ordinance have been met. And the site plan is compliant with all applicable standards in section 27.06A. The site plan is also compliant with all applicable driveway, curb cut, and streets ordinances. And as you all, I'm sure, are aware, there are 8 discretionary standards for conditional land use approval that we talk about as well. Those are reflected here on your screen. At the time of evaluation, both staff and the Planning Commission felt that the request adequately considered these discretionary standards for land use approval. That being said, as we talked about the berm just a little bit, I'll draw that out for your attention. There was a letter transmitted in opposition of the proposal, and there were two items that were called out. One was the removal of the berm as relates to sound privacy. As previously mentioned, the berm does not exist through the whole of the US 10 corridor, and so it seems as things have been developed, the berm in those locations has been removed. Staff and Planning Commission both felt that the placement of the building toward the rear of the parcel would allow for adequate sound privacy upon its completion. And the other item that was called out in that note was an impact to traffic as relates to deliveries. The letter writer is a previous employee and so understands the mechanisms of the business as relates to his time as an employee, and as I mentioned before, part of the desire of the property owner to make this change is to allow for less frequent, larger deliveries so they aren't seeing and having to receive those deliveries on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Just a question. Is there only one entrance? I only saw like one driveway.
Yep. Yes, just one entrance.
Okay, so when I read that letter also, it was a concern about how the size of the trucks that would be making those deliveries and their ability to turn around.
Sure. My understanding in evaluation of the traffic pattern is that they'll be backing into the site. And so in evaluation with engineering, they felt that was adequate for
so
those
when
needs.
You say large trucks, we're not talking 18-wheelers.
I don't know the exact dimensions of those vehicles. I was told a larger delivery vehicle.
So. That's what I was thinking. It would be an 18-wheeler. Because you have, there are furnaces and air conditioning units. These are all pretty big, and they probably have a truckload of them that they stop off and drop these units. So
right, and I guess I was just concerned that there wasn't like more of a circular drive or two entrances, but you know, so I just
trying
I don't,
to back
I don't
in.
Know, I don't, yeah, I don't know if they. I'm sure they thought about that.
Well, the placement is pretty close to that curve.
Well, no, that's my concern.
Yeah. Is that curve can be especially in the winter, but you get a bit tricky.
Yeah.
Hmm. At the time of the proposal, they did specify it would just be larger delivery vehicles. There wasn't specification given as to the dimensions of that vehicle.
Ask the applicant.
Okay. Is the applicant here this evening?
He's not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question related to one of the other conditions, and that was relating to the sound. Was there any discussion? I didn't see anything in the record. Is there any discussion regarding planting trees or other things along the US 10 side to kind of help muffle sound as well?
There is not at this time as a part of the site plan the intention of placing any plant material to create that barrier to replace the berm. The building will cover most of that that area. And similarly with Midland Gymnastics Training Center, similar orientation there.
Because I think this section is a little closer to where the homes are, so you're going to have more sensitivity, whereas the gymnastics center kind of actually helps additional buffering you know, further down Wackerly.
Sure. Can we go back to the picture?
Absolutely.
Sorry. So the berm is actually in front of the trees, it appears.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So if the berm comes up, will they still be leaving those existing trees?
Yes.
So those, so there will be trees there.
Okay. It is just not a part of the plan to add any additional plant material.
Okay.
And of course,
still stuck on the truck because it's a two-lane, there's lots of traffic, and depending on what time they make those deliveries, if it's an 18-wheeler trying to back up in there, it's going to bring everything to a total stop.
Sure.
I think it wouldn't be 18-wheeler with plumbing and supply.
You think?
I don't think. I mean, that would be an educated guess. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. Let me ask another question while you're pondering that. the metal recycling area
dumpster.
To the, I can't remember, east, north, whatever it is.
Let me get back to the second. Here in this location.
Yes. Is that enclosed or?
It is.
Okay, it is going to be enclosed. Okay, because that would be a argument for the berm. I don't think you'd want to see that from the freeway or this aesthetic-wise and everything. That would be
sure.
Okay, thanks.
It is completely screened, and then there's also additional plant material located here to keep it.
But it is screened to the rear, though.
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
So Nicole, just to clarify, the trees to the north are on in the right of way, they're not on the property, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Should I keep moving on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other questions that you may have?
Hey, we'll just stop you.
Sure. I'm still relatively new to this. So at the time that the Planning Commission evaluated for this, it was a unanimous decision to approve this site plan contingent upon these three items here on the screen. Of course, soil erosion and sedimentation control permit is required as the, you know, the volume of soil being moved requires such. Secondly, an update to the existing stormwater permit application to reflect the proposed will be required. And as a part of that site plan 374, we saw in its stormwater permit application put forward then, and so that will require an update. And then, as is consistent practice with conditional land use approval, this approval would be granted to the proposed warehouse in compliance with the accompanying site plan. Any additional uses of the property must be reviewed again and in line with the standards of the City of Midland zoning ordinance. Moving beyond there to talk about process, the Planning Commission public hearing was held on May the 28th, and then on your agenda on June 17th, you scheduled this public hearing that we're holding here tonight. As I mentioned before, there was one public comment that was received ahead of the public hearing. We haven't heard anything beyond that. And with that, any other questions?
Any other questions for Ms. Wilson?
May I? Nicole, the site plan, you've only shown and talked about the one building at the back of the site. The actual site plan shows both an addition to that building and another building at the front. Are those proposed as part of the approval before council tonight?
They are not proposed as a part of this approval. This was a concept for a future development should they outgrow their showroom space. At this time, there's no indication that that will be happening in the near future.
So just to clarify, that building at the back then takes approximately only about half the total width of the site.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, we're set. Thank you. All right, well, the petitioner is not here, but we'll open the public hearing. Is there anyone who would like to speak on behalf in support of the petition? Is there anyone opposed? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Selena, would you please read the resolution?
Resolution approves a request from Morton Buildings on behalf of Brubaker Plumbing and Heating to permit a 5,670 square foot warehouse facility at 1123 and 1201 East Wackerly Street.
Can we have a motion to accept that resolution?
So moved. Second.
Okay. First and second discussion.
I'm actually fine with the facility itself. I just have a question about, you know, the trucks.
Yeah. Am I thinking on the truck track, even if it is a semi, it'd be a once a week type thing,
right.
I would assume so. I think it'd be real minimal.
I mean, as long as they're not coming through at 7:30 in the morning or
right.
5-ish,
yeah.
5:30 at night, I think, because those guys can really back up pretty fast. And I'm looking at the drawing again here, and it does sit back a little bit from that curve.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you do have time to react. Okay with it as well.
Yep.
Okay.
Just looking at it, if it's anything less than a semi, they probably can pull in into the parking area
right.
and turn around
on the site anyway, so smaller vehicles would be able to do that.
Yeah. It would be good, frankly, on all the things along US 10, though, to consider sound muffling.
That was a good point you made, Marty, about the berm possibly shielding some of the noise from that building in the back.
Okay. So any other discussion on this? None? All right, then. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. That passes 5-0. All right, that takes us now to conditional use permit number 66. And again, Ms. Wilson.
Of course. All right. All right, conditional use permit number 66. The applicant is Grove Tea Lounge, who you've seen before you for a previous conditional use permit application. The location of this project is 2405 and actually 2409, unless they are officially combined, Abbott Road in a neighborhood commercial zoning district. The proposal is truly just for outdoor seating for a coffee and tea house in a neighborhood commercial district, which is why you're seeing this before you as conditional use. To give you some of the details and orient you to the site, I'll point out to the south, obviously, the Dow Chemical Company corporate headquarters here. Clear River Advertising is this guy here to the northwest. There's a faith community located here to the north of the subject parcel, and then, of course, surrounding medium density residential. This parcel to the east is vacant but heavily wooded. Zooming in a little bit more closely, you see here the two subject parcels, 2405 and 2409 Abbott Road, both owned by Grove Tea Lounge. And to give you some of the site characteristics that you see, although most of them remain largely unchanged, this is the principal structure of the Tea Lounge with a sidewalk here connecting to customer parking here. There is a drive-through at this location that travels to the west and then to the south into the drive-through here. Primarily employee parking here to the northwest of the principal structure. And then of course, a whole bunch of green space here and then just to the north of the principal structure as well. The location in question, you'll see this a little bit further in the site plan, but to give you kind of the overall view, this is the location that we're really talking about tonight for this outdoor seating. When evaluating for zoning, of course, the neighborhood commercial district that exists at the intersection of East Lawn and Abbott Road to the south LCMR with the Dow Chemical Company's corporate headquarters, and then primarily RB, which is our multiple family or higher density residential surrounding the Tea Lounge. And then, of course, density in residential getting smaller as we move out away from the commercial node. Taking a look at future land use, the Tea Lounge property and parcels remain as a commercial designation in the future land use evaluation, maintaining that light industrial to the south where the Dow Chemical Company is located, and RB changes titles to a higher density residential, and then medium density residential mostly to the north there. Taking a look at the site plan, again, this is really the area that we're discussing. This is the proposed outdoor seating location with customer parking directly adjacent here, large green space to the north, and then green space off to the west there too, and employee parking here. To evaluate site characteristics when looking here, there is no impact to parking areas or other site characteristics other than to allow for this patio concept for outdoor seating. I did provide in this next slide some of the concept drawings that were provided by the applicant here, which shows the brick patio with those seating concepts and adding some outdoor space to the neighborhood. Moving right along, to evaluate for those non-discretionary standards, all parking regulations, setbacks, and other zoning items have been complied with. Parking regulations include calculations for both the indoor and proposed outdoor seating, and the site is compliant as proposed. As I mentioned in the previous conditional use permit request, there are these discretionary standards that we talk about when evaluating for conditional land use approval, shown here on the screen. At the time of evaluation, neither the staff or the Planning Commission identified any concern with any of the discretionary standards identified here, as there will be no impact to public services or the site characteristics that exist today. The proposal is compatible with the master plan and the zoning ordinance, and is not seen to negatively impact surrounding land uses and is seen as compatible. No concerns exist there, and as such, there were no contingencies recommended as a part of this proposal. And moving into process, again, we at the Planning Commission held a public hearing on May the 28th and held the that public hearing and made that decision the same evening. On June 17th, you had that come to your agenda for scheduling a public hearing, and here we are tonight. And I believe this may be a record, but we saw 51 public comments in support received as a part of this proposal ahead of the public hearing. And then additionally, a petition with 185 signatures were also transmitted on behalf of the proposal. And with that, I'll entertain any questions.
All right, any questions?
With that kind of support, it looks like you're short a few seats.
I was gonna ask what the capacity is.
High turnover.
The capacity?
It's a great question for the petitioner. And he is here.
So okay, he so the petitioner is here. All right, wonderful. All right, any more questions of Nicole? All right, thank you very much. So we'll open the public hearing. If the petitioner is here and would like to make a comment, that's wonderful. And maybe you can respond to the question about capacity. So I need you to state your name and address, if you would, please.
My name is Patrick McElgan. My home address is 5100 Foxcroft. So I guess first to address the initial question, our total capacity is, if I remember right, we have 33, 34 spaces, something along those lines, so it roughly equates to about 130. I think at maximum we typically have about 5 employees working at any one time during our busiest times, and so that drops it down to more like 110, 115, something like that, potentially. We currently have 34 seats inside, so that allows for a lot of options outside, although I don't have really the desire nor the money at this time to have that many seats outside to take over my entire green space. The only public comment I'd like to make is, I think it was explained really well what we're trying to do and accomplish. We love our neighborhood. It's amazing. We love the people who live around us. They support us and encourage us every single day. We have a fantastic property and we want to share that with everybody. And we only get a few short months in the summer to be able to be outside as much as we can, even shorter this year given how the spring has gone, and to have some outdoor seating for people to be able to come and hang outside, especially with those who live around the area with in the apartment complexes, to give them a little more green space to come and enjoy the outdoors. That's what we're looking to do, and just continue to support and integrate ourselves into that neighborhood as much as we have in our own home, two neighborhoods north of that. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to consider this and discuss it. So thank you.
Well, all right, thank you. Are you drinking tea?
I just got back from vacation a couple days ago and I'm still nursing a cold and a sore throat. So
works out perfect. Very medicinal. We're glad you're here. All right. So is there anyone who would like to comment in support of the petition? Is there anyone opposed? All right, then seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Selena, would you please read the resolution?
This resolution approves a request from Grove Tea Lounge to permit outdoor seating in an NC neighborhood commercial district at 2405 and 2509 Abbott Road.
Can we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second, any discussion?
I think it's a great idea.
That's what I was going to say.
It's good to see that the the business is doing well and it's driving enough support to have additional seating outside of the building itself. And certainly you've got the property that's very well suited for it. And you got all that green space, and I think you look at the trend around town, there's a demand for any eating establishment to have outdoor seating, and you're no different. And frankly, you've got the best ones to take advantage of the outdoor space. So hopefully we'll get this done, and the weather will cooperate after that.
Thank you for taking the initiative to do this. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Okay, ready to vote? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that passes 5-0. Okay, wonderful. Thank you for coming here. You know, you just got in town. Thank you. All right, that takes us now to public comment. This is an opportunity for people to address council on issues that are relevant to council business, but not on the agenda. I don't see any this evening. No. All right, so with that, we'll move right on to item number 4, which has to do with water. And Mr. Percy is here to walk us through that.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council. I'm back for some more water rate discussions. This is the introduction of first reading of the Water Commodity Rate Ordinance Correction, 2019-2020. This is the first reading of the 1920 Ordinance Amendment for the Water Enterprise Fund, Water Commodity Rate Correction from $1.65 to $1.67. Ordinance 1829 approved on June 24th, 2019 in a typographical error, originally calculated presented as $1.67. That error would have shown up on the bill for a proposed 3/4-inch drinking water meter bill with a typical quarterly bill of 15 units, and that increase would have been for a typical user to about $2.69, or the proposed 400% that we discussed the last few meetings. On a proposed 1-inch meter for drinking water, that bill would increase by about $3.57 to a typical user of 20 units, or about the 4.5% that we discussed. The second reading and adoption of the 2019 and 20 Water Rate Ordinance Amendment is scheduled for July 22nd, 2019. The rate ordinance shall take effect upon approval. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Frizzi? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Any comments from the public? All right, then seeing none, Selena, would you please read the resolution?
This gives first reading and introduction of a proposed amendment to Section 28-52 of Division 3 of Article 2 of Chapter 28 of the Code of Ordinances for Water Rates.
Motion?
Accept.
Motion first?
Second.
Second, okay. Any discussion? Pretty clear?
Yep.
All right, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. That takes us down to new business. Any new business, Mr. Kay?
No, ma'am.
Anyone from council have any new business?
Nope.
Okay, well, enjoy golf next week.
Yes.
We'll be seeing a lot of it.
Yes.
So, a wonderful day for our community, and we'll have lots of guests, so we need to be on our tip-top. All right. With that, then I think we're adjourned.
This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.